The Lord allowed me to come this way a couple of years ago, and I certainly did enjoy it. And I trust that He will help us. That's what we need. After the week that you've already had, I kind of feel like a plow mule in the Kentucky Derby. But yet God knows what we stand in need of and what a wonderful Savior He is. I want us to open our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles, of course, these are scripture normally in the book of 1 Chronicles, especially chapter 1 through chapter 9. You can read probably all of these verses in a matter of 15 or 20 seconds. For the simple fact, we're just not much interested in trying to name these names. But I got to thinking about that. I'm glad that God knows names, don't you? Of course, I don't know any of these folk. They don't know me, but God knows us both. And the reason I don't spend a lot of time here, if I was going to name somebody a name today, wouldn't be out of this list. But yet God knows the name. And I was kind of breezing through here one day, and the Holy Ghost said, just slow down. And remember that I've given this list of names. And there is another list of names recorded. And you better be thankful we're just not going to breeze through that one. And that's our names that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And aren't you glad that your name is recorded there? I'm certainly glad to be saved. I'm glad that God knows our name. I'm glad that when we get to heaven and all of us that are saved stand before Him, and then I'm glad that is not going to have to do what I've had to do a lot of times. I'm glad that God doesn't have any what's his names. I'm glad that we all have a name and God knows our name. What a wonderful privilege that is. There is no what's his names in the Bible. Notice, if you will, in verse number 9, God just been naming names here. And then out of all of these names that he's naming, he picked out one individual to give us a little excerpt or an insert about him. And I'm very interested in that. That's in verse number 9 of chapter 4. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. He didn't say, God, I don't want it to be kept from evil that it might not grieve you. He said, I don't want it to grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested, and then goes right on naming names. I'm interested tonight in this fella by the name of Jabez. And I want to preach, God being our helper, and you pray for us, on from bitterness to blessedness. Amen. From bitterness to blessedness. Let's ask God to help us. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of gathering tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these who have congregated together. Thank you, Lord, for the good congregational singing, the good choir singing tonight. I'm glad, God, that you still save old sinners. And I'm glad that you have been so good and will continue to do so. Have your way tonight. God, only you know why you have assigned us to this portion of the Word of God. And I pray that you would help us. God, you know my physical need, but most of all, you know that I need the touch of God. and the hand of God and the help of God to be able to give tonight what you have assigned us to. May your work, your will and way in every height. May the ear, Lord, be given to you that the heart may be reached tonight. For those here that's unsaved, that you might bring them unto the acknowledgement of yourself by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for grace and goodness. May your will be done, for it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that the Bible is the greatest book that has ever been written. I'm glad for the precious Word of God. I'm glad that God's given us a Word in this hour. I'm glad I can believe and trust this precious old Word of God. I thought about the Bible, that it's filled with people and problems and principles. I do want to say that I believe every problem that any individual would encounter, the answer can be found in the precious Word of God. I don't think there's any subject, any condition that may be accumulated that the Word of God does not have the answer for. I'm glad that God, that the Bible tells us who we are, what we are, who God is, and what we need, and where we're going. Amen. Amen. I'm certainly glad of that. Now I want to say that the Bible is full of people. People just like you and I. Somebody said, but oh, it's a book of God. Yes, it is. But it's God revealing the mannerism of people, saved and unsaved. I'm glad that it's a book about people. And without exception, every person in the Word of God had problems. There's not one recorded that did not have a problem. There's only one individual that ever lived without sin. None without suffering. One without sin, none without suffering. So I want to say that it's allotted to you and I that we would encounter afflictions in our life. So we see the people have problems, but then thank God there's a principle. Those people with problems had a great God. And that God is my God. And that God is your God. And I don't know what you could be encountering, but you can start traveling this highway of holiness, and somewhere you're going to find yourself in the Word of God. You're going to find somebody that's encountering a similar situation as you're having. And boy, when you do, just kindly park there and see how God took care of them. And the same God that took care of them, the same God that dealt with them, is the same God that's on the throne tonight. I'm glad He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And it's according to the power which worketh in us. I say I'm glad that I belong to God, and He knows my name, and He knows where I'm at, and He knows where you are, and I'm glad that He does that. We see here, now watch it carefully, Jabez had a problem, and it was a pretty big problem. It was a problem that he could not get away from. He had to, this problem, he had to take with him every day. This problem was given to him by another. And my dear friend, the problem that Jabez had was creating somebody in him that he did not like. You say, preacher, what was his problem? His problem was his name. You say, well, why would you say that? Well, his mama called him Jabez because she bore him with sorrow. Jabez is an Aramaic name. It's a title, and it means Mama's Sorrow. Oh, and I'm telling you, Jabez was like this. If you ask him, he probably created an attitude in his teenage years. It probably didn't bother him too bad as a child. But as he grows up, he begins to realize that his problem is making somebody out of him that he don't like and that nobody else likes. He might have created a phobia, something like this. You ask him his name, what's your name? And he might respond like this, Jabez, you want to make something of it? You see, it created something in him that he was constantly on the defense. He was constantly wondering what was going to happen next. Can I say to you that situations and problems and bitterness in our life because of it can create somebody that God cannot get honor from and can create somebody in us that we don't even like. And if I can't like it, I know nobody else can. And problems and situations can create us into an individual that only God can fix. Now, I don't know why God assigned this tonight. I begged him to let me preach a dozen other things. He said, you preach this or else. I didn't like the or else. But I'm telling you, so if you've been saved, you want to please God. I believe every person that's truly born again has a desire to please God, wants to bring glory to Him, but situations and circumstances invade our lives. And my friend, it creates somebody in us that we're not really like that, but the problem has made us that way. Now that's the way Jabez was. So let me encourage you that if it's that way in your life, start traveling through the pages of the Bible. You're going to find somebody in there that's having the same problem you are. I know what I'm preaching because I was having to deal with a similar situation that I'd carried since I was a child. When God began to work this message in my heart, this message set me free. And it'll do the same for you. Woo! Oh, now I want you to say, well, preacher, I personally believe that Jabez now, he's gotten up just a little age on him, and he's tired of being pushed in a corner. His attitude and his problem had made a defense, set up a defense in him. His problem had pushed him in a corner, and now he's just got a little old bitty corner that he can operate in. And when he ventures out of that, he's constantly reminded of who he is and the problem that he carries, and he's in that little old corner and in love. That's why he asked God to enlarge his coast. He's tired of operating in that little old bitty space right there. I'm telling you, friend, God's got a great span for you. He's got a great word for you. He's got blessing that he wants you to enjoy. But you got to get beyond this to be able to enjoy. Now, I personally believe, and I prayed about this, and boy, God's really let me know that this is the truth of it. You'll have to deal with him with it. But I believe that Jabez's problem drove him to the Bible. Now, Jabez didn't have all the scripture that we have. But I believe what he had, I know he had the five books of Moses. And I believe it drove him to the Bible. He starts reading in Genesis 1, finds out there's a God big enough to make everything. Oh, there's a God that there's nothing impossible with. There's a God that don't even have to have anything to work with to make something. I'm glad he's the God of creation. And he begins to read through there. He reads about God dealing with Abraham. He reads how Isaac got his bride. Then he comes on down and he comes to Genesis chapter 35. Go there with me. You'll want to follow along here. Genesis chapter 35, Jabez is reading along. He's been down there now with Jacob in Haran. He goes through Jacob's dealings, you know, with his situations. Now Jacob is journeying back to up to Bethel or from Bethel. Verse number 16, look with me in chapter 35. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died. Now watch it. That she called his name Benoni. Now if you look over in the margin of your Bible, you know what the name Benoni means? Son of sorrow. Now get it. Jabez is reading through here and he's looking for some kind of answer. And all of a sudden, see, Benoni is a Hebrew name for mother's sorrow. Jabez is an Aramaic name for mama's sorrow. Jabez reading through here and all of a sudden, he found himself. All of a sudden, he found somebody in the Bible that had the same problem he had. And all of a sudden, he stops and he says, praise God, I found myself. I found somebody that caused his mama as much sorrow as I caused mine. I don't know if Jabez's mama died when he was birthed, but I do know that Benoni's mama died when he was born. Now I want you to get this right here. You may not understand this right now, but just give us a few moments to get on through it, and God will connect it and it'll help your heart. But I see here that he becomes very interested in Benoni. But did you know Benoni was never called Benoni? Now watch it very carefully. Benoni, the son of my sorrow. And God says to Jabez, now look at this right here. You needing help in your life. Examine this right here. Now, I believe with all of my heart that Rachel is who Jacob loved the most. You remember he got hoodwinked into getting Leah, which means that she was tender-eyed. The Bible said she was tender-eyed. I just kindly believe she was hard to look at. In other words, you better have good eyes to look. She was the ugly sister, even though she was the older sister. And Jacob got hoodwinked into getting her. And then he worked 14 years for those two ladies. And then he worked 6.5 more years to take care of Rachel. Now, Rachel, if you'll study Rachel in Jacob's life, Rachel had Jacob wrapped around her little finger. Whatever Rachel wanted, whatever Rachel decided to do, Jacob would do the best he could to provide. You remember one time Laban came and searched the whole place. Jacob knew she had Laban's tools, but he didn't accuse her. He knew it, but he didn't. He didn't say, now give them back. No, he let her call her own shots. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that ain't so good. But I'm just simply saying that Rachel had Jacob wrapped around her little finger. And you know, normally when it comes to life and living and then dying and death, whatever the last request is of the person that we love the most, we'll do everything that we can to honor those last words. We'll do everything in our power to honor the last request of those that we love the most. But now notice something here. I'm not real sure whether Jacob was present when Benoni was born or not, but I do know that the midwife was there. Now let's just suppose that Jacob wasn't there. I really believe that he was, but it could be that he wasn't. And the midwife comes to Jacob and says, sir, your wife is dead. She died giving birth to this boy. And Jacob could have said, well, boy, oh, I hate that. And then if Jacob was there, he could have heard her say to the midwife, call him Benoni. And Jacob whispered to that midwife, and if it hadn't have been for the inspiration of the Word of God, we'd have never known that Benjamin's name was Benoni. Because the Holy Ghost is the only one that knew it. Because I believe that Jacob said to that midwife, don't you tell anybody what Rachel has wanted to name this boy. Don't tell anyone. I can't let this boy live with a name like Benoni. I'm going to have to change his name. And he said to the midwife, we won't call his name Benoni, son of my sorrow, but we'll call his name Benjamin, son of my right hand. Now why would Jacob dishonor the last request of Rachel? Why would he do that? Why would he? He probably didn't say it in Rachel's presence, but he probably said to her, that midwife, now, before you tell anybody, don't put on his birth certificate Benoni. We're not calling him Benoni. We're going to call him Benjamin. Why did Jacob not want that last boy of his to carry a name like Benoni? Because Jacob's had to live with a name all of his life. And Jacob knows what it is to have to deal with a name that you gotta live up to. He knows what you gotta face to live up with a name like trickster and conniver and surplanner. Jacob was the type of fellow, and I'm glad that God touched him later, but he's the type of fellow that you didn't want to do going business with. He would leave you hanging dry. And he was not the kind of fellow you wanted to deal with. He would always come out on top. It didn't make any difference. He had learned the ropes. He had done that because his name was. Do you remember when he stole Esau his brother's blessing? And Esau came in to get the blessing. And he said, well, your brother has already gotten it. He said, Daddy, you sure have named him right. You sure named him right when you called him Jacob. You sure named him right. Oh, he had lived a whole life. He had lived a whole life with a name, with a problem that had created somebody in him that he had to have God to wrestle it out of him. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, and he is not about to name that boy that's going to give him the same problem he had that he had to deal with the rest of his life. Daddy, this is, no, yesterday was Father's Day. We'll let it carry over a minute. Whatever you do, remember, there's somebody following you. And do what you can to get right with God before your boys get old enough to know what's going on. Whoa, praise God. Now, I'm preaching on Jabez. Don't forget that. Jabez is reading, and he's saying, boy, I remember something back here when I was reading about Jacob. And Jacob changed his son's name, and Jabez is thinking, boy, I wish daddy or mama had a changed mind. But they didn't. They didn't, so it's too late now for anybody else to help him. He's tried everything. He's done everything. But sometimes and always God will bring you to the place to where nobody can help you but him. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know where you may be tonight. I don't know what situation you're in. I don't know how long you've been dealing with it. But I can tell you, you need to come to grips with it. There's only one can take care of it. There's only one can help you. And that's the God of heaven. He is able. He is able. Jabez says, I want to find out a little more about this fella that changed his boy's name. So he backs up to chapter 32. Jacob now is coming down to where he's connived his way out of every situation. But now he's going to face a situation tomorrow that he don't have any idea how he can deal with it. Brother Scott, tomorrow Jacob is going to face Laban. Esau, his brother, who told him he was going to kill him the next time he saw him. Send him word. Don't let me see you again. When you do, you're a dead bird. You're done. So Jacob now has connived his way for 20 years. 20 years he's surplanted. He's tricked. Can you read his life? It's amazing. But here's the amazing, you know, one thing I read, somebody said to me one time reading through the book of Romans, he said, buddy, I don't understand how world God hated Esau. I said, the problem I have is how God loved Jacob. The way he was. But aren't you glad that God's love's unconditional? Lord, have mercy. And here, I see that now Jacob's going to face Esau in the morning. And he's trying to think in his way of thinking, how in the world am I going to find a loophole to get through this? And he don't find it. He can't find it. He's got to face the situation tomorrow. And I don't know much, but I do know the nudging of the Holy Ghost. I don't know anybody here. I don't know your situation, but he was going to have to face the situation in the morning. Well, the Holy Ghost said, say that again. He was going to have to face a situation in the morning that he had no idea how he was going to get out of. He's thought of every trick in the book. Probably read some other trickster's books. And he can't find a way. So he begins to do what he's always done. Divided up everything so if one part gets killed, it won't get them all. Then he still goes through all of that mess. But then it says in verse number 22 of chapter 32, and he rose up that night, the night before he was to meet Esau in the morning. And took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. Now remember, Jabez reading this. And Jacob was left alone. Let me say something to you. You will probably never really get help from God till you get alone, till he gets you by yourself. As long as you've got others to converse with and get instructions from, you're probably going to leave God out. But now there's nobody to deal with but God. And Jacob is left alone. There's a million things going through my heart right here. But I'm just saying he was left by himself. And there wrestled a man with him. Amen. Until the break of day. Amen. Now, why did, and we find out later who this was, it was the angel of the Lord. It was a Christophanes. It was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus. And he came down and he wrestled with Jacob. Why did the Lord choose a wrestling match with Jacob? I believe he chose a wrestling match because Jacob was probably a very good wrestler himself. You got a name like Jacob, you better learn how to take care of yourself. And he would be known as a professional wrestler, probably. You didn't mess with Jacob. He could take everything you got, and then if you hit him in the face, he'd break your neck. You know, he'd pull a Paul Nelson on you or something. And I don't even know what that is. I heard Joe Arthur say it. But I'm just simply saying, God's the one that chose the wrestling match. God will always choose to deal with you in your strongest point fleshly. In your strongest fleshly point. Where you think you can handle any situation without Him is where God is going to choose to deal with you. I know what I'm talking about. Now, there's a man that wrestles with him. And verse number 25, he wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Yeah. Pretty long wrestling match. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him. Let me say something. This is not when Jacob saw that he couldn't prevail against the angel. It's when the angel of the Lord saw that he couldn't prevail against Jacob. Jacob, pretty good wrestler. But you know, somebody said, well, are you telling me that the Lord couldn't pin him? Oh, the Lord could pin him anytime. But the Lord didn't want to pin him. The Lord wanted to touch him. God don't want to have to pin you. He don't want to have to incarcerate you. He wants to touch you. And he wants to fix you to where you got to trust in him totally. Oh yeah, the Lord could have pinned him without any problem. He could have broke his neck. He could have held him down with one finger. He could have just told him to stay down and he couldn't have got up. But the Lord didn't want to pin him. He wanted to touch him. God, sir, and I know when I'm preaching, God doesn't want to hurt you. God doesn't want to mess you up. God don't want to pin you. God don't want to get the three count on you. God wants to touch you. Now I'm preaching about Jabez. Now, verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, there's some gray heads in here. Y'all remember Gorgeous, anybody remember the wrestler Gorgeous George? Oh, yeah, I could tell there's some carnal folk in here like myself. Old Gorgeous George, his name was George Matheson. He and I, Gorgeous George, got saved, become an independent Baptist preacher. Last 12 years of his life, took cancer and died. George Matheson and myself preached together 2 years before his death down in Low Country, South Carolina. I asked George Matheson, I didn't say Gorgeous George, I said Brother Matheson. I said, answer me a question. Where is the most strategic place in the body of a wrestler? He looked at me and he said, Brother Davis, I know where you're going with this. I said, then answer him a question. He said, in the hip and thigh. He said, a wrestler can break his arm, he can break his shoulder, he can break his leg, and he can come back. He can even break his back and come back to wrestle. But if he ever messes his hip and thigh up, he's done for. Because there's something about that end there that cannot be repaired to be a wrestler again. So God knew exactly where to touch the wrestler. Now I'm preaching about Jabez. He knows right where to touch him. And as he wrestled with him, he didn't pin him. He just touched him. Touched the hollow of his thigh. And Jacob carried that till the day he died. If you ever get touched by God, it'll make you walk different. It'll make you be different. I see Jacob next morning as he's coming back over Brook, Jabbok. And the grand boys are saying, Mama, what's the matter, Papa? Maybe years later, old Jacob walking like that. What's the matter with Papa? Well, all I know is we left him alone one night. And the next morning he come back. He said God, he wrestled with God. All I know is that he's walked like that ever since. He's walked a different path ever since. He's operated a different operation ever since, just because God wanted to touch him. And he wants to do the same for you. He wants to turn your bitterness into blessedness. I'm getting too old for this. Now notice, I can see here, and I'm about done. It won't take long for the impact. But watch this. And he said, verse number 26, and he said, let me go. That ain't Jacob asking to be let go. That's the angel of the Lord saying, Jacob, you got to let me go. Because you see, he ain't wrestling no more. He ain't wrestling no more. He can't wrestle no more. And when you can't wrestle, all you can do is just hang on. See, if the Lord fixed him to where he couldn't wrestle, he was going to have to fix the problem. And he's going to hang on to God till he does. Somebody here tonight's in real trouble. You're right on the verge of trying to do it again in the energy of the flesh. And God sent this old nutty preacher over here to let you know you can quit that junk and turn to the Lord. He can fix you and take care of everything. Praise God, this is about getting bigger than me here tonight. Listen, so we see that he said, let me go, verse 26, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He said, God, you have broken me. Now I'm not letting you go till you bless me. I hope the Holy Ghost is saying what needs to be said in your heart. And the Lord said unto him, verse 27, he said unto him, what's thy name? Now he's getting right down to the basis of the problem. What's your name? And he said, Jacob. God knew his name. Jacob knew his name. But Jacob had to admit to God where his problem was at. My problem's my name. Now I'm preaching on Jabez. Jabez reading this. My problem's my name. You know what God's saying? He said, Jacob, you're asking me to bless you. But he said, I can't bless you as Jacob. I can't bless the trickster and the conniver and the surplanter. I can't bless you the way you're wanting me to. I've got to change him then again. I got to take care of the problem and then I can bless you. I'm going to change your name for Sir Planner to Power with God. Israel. What a name. What a name. What a long living name. What an everlasting name. What an inherited name. That God changed a man in a wrestling match one night. It's never the sons of Jacob when it talks about the spiritual man. It's never the tribes of Jacob. It's the tribes of Israel. It's never the people of Jacob. It's the people of Israel. And God fixed him that night to be able to salvage his family for eternity. Just by one touch. One touch. Somebody said, well, he ain't the man he used to be. Oh, yeah, he's much more of a man now than he ever was. Because you see, he said in verse 28, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men. And I love this phrase. And hast prevailed. Amen. Who won the wrestling match? Jacob. Here he comes. What are you doing? Where you been, Paul? I've been wrestling. Boy, I've never seen nobody hurt you like that, Paul. Oh, he didn't hurt me. Boy, I sure would hate to see what condition he's in. Oh, he's in good condition. Well, who won, Paul? I did. You mean you come out like that, the winner? Yeah, God fixed it. He fixed it that night to where he couldn't operate in the flesh anymore. He fixed it that night to where he couldn't do what he could do as a man. He had to trust God from then on. So, let's go. And he said, thou hast, and Jacob asked him and said, well now you tell me what your name. That's just the way Jacob was. He said, if I'm going to tell anybody who it was that done me this way, you have to let me know. And he said, Jacob, this is between me and you. I'm not going to tell you my name because it doesn't matter. I've fixed you tonight the way I wanted to fix you. Amen. And now I'm going to let you go. Amen. And Jacob, you're going to have to trust me totally. Amen. Unreservedly from here on. Amen. Okay, Jabez says, oh, so God can change a man with a bad name. Oh, so there is hope for me. There's not hope for me getting my name changed, but there sure is hope for me getting me changed. Now notice, I'm about done. Let's go back over to 1 Chronicles 4. Look at it. And Jabez, look at it, verse number 10, called on the God of, somebody help me. Jabez didn't call on the God of Abraham. He didn't call on the God of Isaac. He read about all of them. He didn't call on the God of Jacob. He called on the God that could change you. He called on the God of Israel. He called on the God that could change you in a moment. So he called on the God of Israel. Now look what he prayed. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. You remember what Jacob said? You got to bless me. God, you got to bless me. And Jacob says, oh, that means, oh my goodness. If you did it for him, you could do it for me. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Jacob, see, his problem drove him to his Bible. He found himself in his Bible. And then his problem drove him to the God of the Bible. Drove him to his knees. And if your problem ever drives you to your knees, your problem may turn out to be the best blessing you ever had. Amen. And it drove him to his knees, and he begins to call on God. And he said, God, I want to be a blessed man. And he said, Lord, I want you to bless me indeed. He said, I'm so tired of being me. He said, God, I'm so tired of getting up every morning and fighting my way through the day. I'm so tired of having this phobia about me. Oh, God, would you bless me? Indeed. No, that's the way God does stuff. He just doesn't bless, but he blesses indeed. Boy, that is right. You know, he just didn't give us life, but he gave us life more. We're just not free, but we're free. Yeah, he just doesn't give kindness, but it's loving kindness. He just doesn't give mercies, but it's tender mercies. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. And it's according to the power which worketh in us. That's our God. And we're living a little old, dried, swiveled up spiritual life. And we've got a God that is able to help us. Praise God. Hallelujah. For this great God. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Praise God that's interested in me and you. He's interested in helping us, fixing us, meeting with us, using us. He's interested in you. Praise the Lord. You see, he said, I want to be a blessed man. And then he said, Lord, I want to be a bigger man. He said, and enlarge my coast. He said, I'm so tired of living in this little old corner. He said, God, get me out of this mess. Enlarge my coast. That means, Lord, get me in a bigger surrounding. Let me enjoy more. Let me enjoy life more. Let me enjoy you more, God. Enlarge my coast. You know, the only way you can enlarge your coast in that day, if you purchased land, from another Hebrew, 50 years you had to give it back. That's right. So I don't care how much you paid for it, it never was yours. That's about the way it is today. But the only way that you could get land that you could keep, you had to go take it from the enemy. And let me say this. You steal others from your brothers, you'll have to give them back to somebody else. Best way to do to enlarge your coast is go take it from the enemy. Well, that didn't go over too well. But that's still the truth. He said, I want to be a blessed man. He said, I want to be a bigger man. And then he said, Lord, I need to be a broken man. He said, and that thine hand might be with me. He said, Lord, I think there's two areas here we could deal with, and I'm coming to a close. He's even saying, Lord, if you got to do to me what you done to Jacob, let your hand be with me. I want to be a broken man. Or he said, Lord, in my life, as you enlarge my coast, would you let me stick my hand in yours? Yeah. And let's walk hand in hand. Amen. I'm tired of doing this alone. And then he said, Lord, I want to be a better man. He said, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Well, how do you know, preacher? How do you know? Well, I don't need to know. Just the Bible said it.
Amen.
Back up to chapter 2, and I'll read this last verse. Last verse in chapter 2. Could I say to you that the Chronicles is not in chronological order? And you'll, as you read it, you'll find that out. But look in verse 55. And the families of the scribes. Now the scribes are the ones that revealed and copied and revealed the word of God to the tribes and the nation. They come into the land of Canaan and they say, we've got our little spot here. We got our little town. We need to name it something. And the families of the scribes which dwelt at... which dwelt at Jabez. You think God enlarged his coast? You think God helped Jabez? You better know it. Why? Because his problem drove him to his Bible, and his Bible drove him to his knees, and his knees drove him to God, and God poured out the blessings
Amen.
Over him.
Amen.
What's your situation tonight? This just doesn't have to go to people that's away from God. There's a lot of fellas and a lot of people and a lot of, let me say this reverently, there's a lot of preachers trying to do the work of God in their ability. Boy, I can get it done now. But it ain't going to work. The only way that anything has ever been done to bring glory to God is when God does it, he gets the glory. And when he breaks a man and then does it through him, is when he smiles on that. From bitterness to blessedness. Where are you tonight? Let's stand. Let's prepare for invitation, please. Brother Kenneth, you come, please. Father, I don't understand all that you said. I know the real burden of my heart today, all day, has been palpitating in this direction. God, would you help us tonight? Would you use these efforts, empower them, work in hearts? May you get all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.